Luke 15. Jesus told this story about a boy who ran away. Once upon a time, there was a boy and his dad. Now one day, the boy gets to thinking, maybe if I didn't have my dad around telling me what is good for me all the time, I'd be happier. He's spoiling my fun, he thinks. Does my dad really want me to be happy? Does my dad really love me? The son never thought of that before, but suddenly he doesn't know anymore. So the son goes to his father and says, Dad, I'm better off without you. I can look after myself. Just give me my share of your money. His father is sad, but he won't force his boy to stay. So he gives his son what he wants. The son takes the money and goes on a long, long journey to a far-off country. I'm going to stop right there. If you could go, and this is open to anyone, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you want to go? Yes, Jack?
Morocco.
Morocco. Why Morocco? That's awesome.
Because the mountains are super high and you can go skiing because there's snow.
Okay. Cool, cool. Anyone else? If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go? The where? Okay. Little different.
Our kids dream a little lower than you.
Someone else. Anywhere in the world, where would you go? Alaska. Somewhere else.
Aruba.
Aruba.
Tahiti.
Okay. Anyone else? What'd you say?
Bora Bora.
Australia.
Australia. Okay. Anyone else?
I'm content right here.
Of all the people here, I could have guessed that answer would come from you. So let's say, just for fun, we don't know, it's just a story. Let's say, just for fun, that he went to Morocco. That was a great answer. I love that. All right, so they're all great answers. So the son takes the money, goes on a long, long journey to a far-off country, someplace like Morocco or Tahiti or Bora Bora, or all the other ones you said. And everything's wonderful and perfect for a while. He can go wherever he wants, do whatever he wants, be whoever he wants. He is the boss. He is free. Sometimes he gets a strange, hungry, homesick feeling inside his heart. But then he just eats more, or drinks more, or buys more clothes, or goes to more parties until it goes away. If you had, I've got another question, if you had like $1 billion, which is a lot, what would you spend your money on? What would you buy? What would you do? A bunch of stuffed animals, okay? What else? You know what? I would too. I'd have a stuffed animal zoo in our house if I had billions of dollars. I've said it to Abby before.
He did like
this past week. I would have a stuffed animal zoo in our house. Someone else. What would you spend money on? Jack.
Nerf guns,
okay. What else? Anyone, kids or adults, doesn't matter.
I was
going to
say pay off debt.
Student loans, okay. Debt, yep.
A bigger gym.
Anyone else? Bigger gym?
Buy a tank of gas.
Tank of gas? Unlimited tanks of gas.
That takes all the money right there.
A pool.
An island. Okay. So, sometimes he gets this strange, hungry, homesick feeling inside his heart, but then he just eats more, or drinks more, or buys more clothes, or he buys more Nerf guns, or fills his car up with gas. He uses the money, and he's got tons of stuff he can do. He's hasn't got a worry in the world. But soon, his money runs out, and so do his friends. He ends up getting the only job he can find, feeding pigs. One day, he's so hungry and so desperate, he even tries some piggy food. What am I doing? He says suddenly, as if he is woken from a nightmare. He spits, yuck, all of it, out of his mouth. What is...
Got another question. Parents, you might need to plug your ears. What is the grossest thing you've ever eaten?
Oh, don't look at me, sir.
I'll go first. Pickled eggplant. Worst thing I've ever eaten. Pickled eggplant.
Ew.
Oh, yeah. You bite it and it explodes in your mouth, and that was... It didn't stay in my mouth. That neither did anything in my stomach. That came out, too. Yeah, Shelly.
Olives.
Olives, okay. Someone else? Grossest thing you've ever eaten?
Truffle oils.
Lima beans.
Haggis.
What was it?
Haggis.
Okay. Anyone else?
Cheese from Paris.
Someone else?
Truffle.
Sand from the beach?
Yeah, that got
nice. What's the grossest thing you've ever eaten, Tommy?
Howie said
broccoli.
Broccoli. What did Howie say? Okay. Any others?
Rocks.
Rock? You've eaten rocks?
Rocks and dirt.
Okay. What?
Margarine.
Yeah, I imagine that wouldn't be too good. Okay, let's flip it. What is the best thing you've ever eaten? I hope we hear some of the same answers again. Anyone, just shout it out. You don't have
Donald's
to raise
your hand.
What was it?
Donald's pizza.
Okay.
Pizza.
Go ahead. Pizza. Okay. Jack.
Cinnamon buns.
Cinnamon buns. There you go, Shelly. Mac and cheese. Grilled cheese. We have expensive palates here in this church, I can tell.
I was thinking like filet with crab meat. Yes. I guess that's over.
Yes. Lobster.
Fresh crab.
Chicken and waffles.
Chicken waffles, crab. Okay. So we got a wide range there. So he considers eating the food, and in actuality, piggy food, I actually tried to figure out what pigs eat. It's not actually that bad. It's like grains and different like stuff like that. But he probably would have had to do it next to all the piggies. And either way, as gross as it might have been, the son is thinking to himself, "Ah, I don't have to eat. If I were just at home, I could be eating pizza. Or grilled cheese, or crab. My dad has all this stuff, and here I am eating what the pigs eat. I could be having so much better stuff." So he says, "My father is rich, and here I am in a pigsty eating piggy food." He wipes his mouth and dusts himself off. "I'm going home." As he starts for home, though, he begins to worry. "Dad won't love me anymore. I've been too bad. He won't want me for his son anymore." So he practices his "I'm sorry" speech. All this time, what he doesn't know is that day after day, his dad has been standing on his porch, straining his eyes, looking into the distance, waiting for his son to come home. He just can't stop loving him. He longs for the sound of his boy's voice. He can't be happy until he gets him back. The son is still a long way off, but his dad sees him coming. What will the dad do? Fold his arms and frown? Shout, "That'll teach you!" Or, "Just you wait, young man!" No, that's not how this story goes. The dad leaps off the porch, races down the hill, through the gap in the hedge, up the road. Before his son can even begin his "I'm sorry" speech, his dad runs to him, throws his arms around him, and can't stop kissing him. "Let's have a party," his dad shouts. "My boy's home. He ran away. I lost him, but now I have him back." Now I'm going to come back to finish that story in just a second, but you hear that? The dad wasn't angry. He didn't
make his son feel bad. He loved his son so much, he was just happy to have him home again. I think that's really cool. Now, kids, I want you to sit tight for a second, because I want to talk to your parents real quick, and everyone else who's here. Parents, moms, dads, grandparents, I assume you love your kids. I'm going to take a step out, make that assumption, that you love your kids. Now, granted, I see the chuckles. I'm sure there are moments when that's difficult, and I get that, believe me. But I'm guessing that even through that, you love your kids. So I want to ask you, why do you love your kids?
Yeah.
Especially that one. Yeah. I remember the first time that I held Nadia after she was born. And yeah, it's one of those, you can't explain it. It's hard to express all the emotion in that moment. That feeling of, wow, we made this, you know? And I remember thinking when it was time for Ellie to be born that maybe that feeling wouldn't be as strong because it wasn't the first time, you know? Now I know what this is like. We've been here before. But no, it was the exact same thing, you know? Wow. You know, look at this incredible little person who looks like me, who looks like Abby, has some of each of our traits in her, you know? And yet, she's still her own person. It's a fascinating, strange thing. Inevitably, I should say, they also both got some of our flaws, because that's how it works. Abby and I are sinful people, and our kids are too. And sometimes that sinfulness shows out in tantrums, disobedience, selfishness, and that's just me and Abby. You know, you should see the girls. You know, sometimes with our girls, we have to let them get what they want, even when it might not be the best thing for them. Because as much as we may try, we can't control what they do. We can try and guide them, but we can't. They're their own people. Which means they're going to make poor choices. And they're going to exhibit bad behavior. And as frustrated as we may get in those moments, we still love them. We want our relationship to be right with them. We want to have a good relationship with them. We want to see them live well and grow well and mature. I don't think any single one of us here who have had the privilege of being parents would claim to be perfect parents, right? Yeah, I'm sure we've all had times we can point back to, or would rather not, where we know we have screwed up. And yet, despite that, we want what's best for our kids. We love them the best we know how. And so if that's what we do for our kids, as imperfect as we are, how much more must God do that for us, right? I want you to place yourselves then in the position of the son in that story, or a daughter. It's a story. I think it's okay to do that. With God as your father, and if we do that, I think we begin to see some similarities between how we relate to our kids and how God relates to us. Genesis 1 says that God created humanity in his own image. So when God looks at us, he sees a little bit of himself in us. That doesn't mean we're gods or that we
are just like God, but we carry some of the same attributes that he does. And we are the only ones who carry that distinction. Out of all that God created, all that we see and hear around us, we're the only ones that can say we bear the image of God. Not trees, not water, not whales, not mongooses, not even dogs. I know, shocker. Only humans, you and me, your neighbor, your coworker, even that guy who might have cut you off in traffic on the way here this morning. All those people are made in God's image. And I think that's part of why God cares so deeply for us. Even though we disobey God, even though we sin against him, even though we run away from him, his love for us, his compassion for us is so great that he is always ready to welcome us back. But just like the father in the story, he won't force us. We can choose to take our inheritance from God, all that grace that he has for us, all the ways that he blesses us. We can choose to accept all that and then never come back to him. To take every step and every breath and every heartbeat and never acknowledge that it's a gift from God. Never acknowledge that we don't deserve any of that. But one day, that inheritance is going to run out. And we'll be on our own, and we'll be forever separated from a God who loves us. And it won't be because he kicked us out, but it's because of our own choice, our decision to run away, to ignore God, and then never come home to receive the forgiveness that God is ready to offer. Or we can be like the Son and come home before we starve to death. We can return to our Father, our Creator, and acknowledge how we screwed up and be welcomed back home with love, salvation, forgiveness, not shame and punishment, like we sometimes like to talk about God. So this story that Jesus told, it's called a parable. And do any of you guys know what a parable is?
A story he uses to teach the world.
Perfect. That's a great way to say it. So it's a story that Jesus told, but it's to tell something important, to communicate a message. So I'm going to finish what it says here. Jesus told them, God is like the dad who couldn't stop loving his boy. And people are like the son who said, does my dad really want me to be happy? Jesus told people this story to show them what God is like. And to show people what they are like. So they could know, however far they ran, however well they hid, however lost they were, it wouldn't matter. Because God's children could never run too far or be too lost for God to find them. Isaiah 53 says that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray, that each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the wrongdoing of us all to fall on him. And that him is Jesus. Even though we've all run away from God, even though we've sinned against him, even though we rightly deserve everlasting separation from God, Jesus sacrificed himself for us. He took the death that we deserve, took on our sin so that we could be made right with God. So kids and all the rest of you, it doesn't matter what you've done, because Jesus sacrificed is enough for you. And it doesn't matter how long you've been running away or ignoring God, he is ready and willing to meet you with open arms and a loving heart if you are willing to return home to him. So if you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I just want you to know it's as simple as saying, you know, God, I'm your creation. I know I'm separated from you because of my sin, but I want to come home. I believe that Jesus died on the cross so that I wouldn't have to, and I want you to lead my life from now on. And that's it. That's as easy and simple as it is to come home. Maybe you've given your life to Jesus in the past, but when you look at your life, and if you're honest with yourself, you know, I'm not really following him. And you know, you can do the same thing.
just have an open and honest conversation with God, he can handle you, the real you, and all of your questions and doubts and confusion and big feelings. He can handle you, and he can meet you where you are. That's what he did with me when I finally really gave my life over to Jesus. And maybe there are some of you here who don't really buy into any of this. You might just be here for the food or the games or whatever. And that's okay too, because God loves you enough to let you make your own choice. But I want you to know that his invitation will continue to stand. I hope you won't delay, because we don't know what today holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds. That invitation still stands for you. So what I want to just do to wrap up our time, I just want to give us a minute, which I know is a really short time, but just a minute for you to meet honestly with God wherever you're at. If you have a really serious conversation with him in this time, or want to know more about what it means to give your life to him, would you talk to me afterwards or sometime today, just so I can touch base with you on that? But whatever you use this time for, whether it's coming honestly to God, maybe this isn't news to some of you and you just want to praise him for what he's done in your life, that's fine too. I just want to allow us a little space to do that. And if you find that a minute isn't enough time, which it really hopefully isn't usually for us when we come to the Lord, the good news is you got all afternoon and you've got this giant wooded area to go off and be by yourself with him if that's what you need to do. So let's just take a minute just between you and the Lord, and then I'll pray for the rest of our time for our food, and we'll get everything going here. So take just a moment, you and the Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you again for each one who is here. I thank you for who you are, that even though we run away from you and disobey you and try to make ourselves a big deal, that even despite all of that, you're ready to welcome us home. And that it's not a, look what you've done, but that it's just purely you love us, you have compassion for us, you desire us to be home with you. So I thank you for that. And I pray for each one of us, from the smallest child here to the oldest adult, that we would just continue to grow in our understanding of what you've done for us, and that we would just be in awe of you because of that. Father, we just want to commit the rest of this day to you. I pray your blessing upon the food that we'll be getting prepared. I pray your blessing upon our times of interaction and conversations. I just pray that you would be glorified in this time. Thank you for this awesome church family that we get to hang out with and have a fun time with. We love you, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we don't really have an agenda for today. Jim's going to get stuff going on the grill. We've got sides and all the other stuff over there. When stuff is ready, just go eat. We'll consider that our prayer for the food. So like I said, we don't have an agenda. We're just here to hang out, have some fun. One thing I will say, those of you who were going to help with the
Weeknight kids program. We had our meeting before. We said we were going to get together at some point today to chat. So just be aware that we'll do that at some point. I don't know. We'll figure out a time. But that's the only plan we've got. So have fun. Glad you could be here.
It's fun time.
Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day.